Matthew 24 and verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you. We're thankful for the visitors we have with us. Very glad that you've come our way. Very glad that you've had safe travel. We're so thankful for everyone who participates in services. We're so very thankful for that. We're thankful this morning of Jacob's flexibility and Brother Chris coming up here and trying to get us back online. We appreciate that. Some bumps and bruises, but that's okay. You know, we're trying to do the best we can. Certainly thankful for each and every one. This morning we'll be in Matthew chapter 24, if you'd like to turn your Bibles over there, Matthew chapter 24. Certainly there's a lot going on in the context, and we can't explore all the context, but certainly we're looking at the idea of the Lord returning and coming back. And we're going to be looking primarily at Matthew chapter 24, verses 45 through 51. And the question for ourselves this morning is, which servant are you? We're going to see two servants here, and the idea is that the Master is coming back. The Master will return, and the idea is, what type of servant were we when the Master was not home? What type of servant are we when the Master comes home? And certainly we want to look at that and consider that, because I think most of us would want to say, I am the faithful servant. I am the consistent servant. I am the good servant. But as we look at the descriptions of these individuals, we need to compare ourselves and make sure we're heeding the warning of the Bible. Now, as we're thinking about Matthew chapter 24, certainly there's a whole lot that's taking place, but one of the ideas that we're building up to is the idea of Jesus' return. Certainly there are many other things that are explored, and Brother Brent just read for us an important principle that I think that many people miss in the religious world. In Matthew chapter 24, in verse 36, it says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. When we think about ourselves and we put ourselves into this picture that God has given, we have the Master and he has his house. And in his house he has some servants. And the servants are doing certain work for the Master while the Master is away. And the question is what type of work are you doing while the Master is away? And what type of work would you do if the Master was to come? But when we think about the idea is we do not know exactly when the Master will return. And the idea that the Bible tries to get across to us in Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 25 is that the servant of the Lord needs to be faithful when the Master is out of town. The servant of the Lord needs to be faithful and consistent in being a servant and doing those things that are good and right, even when the Lord is not currently present. Which we understand that God is always present, but in a physical sense, it's really like the illustration, is that many times we feel like the Lord is far away. Really, the Lord is with us each and every day. He's not far away from any of us. But we understand the idea that not being able to physically see the Lord, sometimes people might fall into the trap of the wicked and inconsistent servant. You know, we think about that idea, is that which servant are you? Which servant are you? In Matthew chapter 6 and 24, it says that we cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve two masters. And really, we are going to be serving ourselves, or we're going to be serving the Lord. And I think that we see that with the idea of the inconsistent and the consistent servant, or the faithful and the unfaithful servant, or the wise servant and the wicked servant that we see in these next few verses. You know, so many times we think we have a lot of time before the Lord comes back. We certainly are not promised tomorrow. We don't know when the Lord's going to come back. See, these servants, they're at the house working, they think, oh, it's going to be a long time before the Lord comes back. But you know what? What if the Master came back today? What if the Lord came back today? I don't know if you have tomorrow or not. You know, one thing that impacted me a few years after I graduated high school, one of my assistant basketball coaches, he was really, I would say, the pinnacle of physical health. Everyone came to this individual for nutrition advice. Everyone came to this individual for their exercise advice. I think he was a quality man in many respects. One day, about 2 years after I graduated high school, he was driving to work and died. pinnacle of hell. No one saw this coming. We don't know when the end of our life is going to be, but we also, there's another idea, we don't know when the Master is going to return, so we had better be ready. We'd be better ready with our lives, that our lives are in order, that we're living the life that God would want us to live, and then also that idea that we are being faithful. As we start getting into the context, I think it's important to see some of the things that are said before we get to the idea of these two servants. I'm going to start in verses 42 through 44 because I think there's this buildup of that the servant of the Lord needs to be prepared. The servant of the Lord needs to be cautious. The servant of the Lord needs to be on guard and doing those things that the servant of the Lord should do. In verse 42, it says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not suspect or expect." Are you a prepared servant of the Lord? Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing in the Lord's house? Are you being watchful? Are you being prepared in spiritual ways? You know, it seems like people will go through periods of their lives where they will have a close relationship with God, and then at other times in their life, they'll run away from God. And you know what? A lot of times, people will run to God when they're going through hardship or disease. They'll get a disease, and then all of a sudden, they'll be very close to God. But why weren't you close to God all throughout that period leading up to that disease? You know, I've heard it said that there are no atheists in foxholes. I think there's some maybe perhaps truth in that statement, is that when you're going through hardship, when you're going through trials, a lot of times you'll reach out to God, you'll reach out to the Master, but we need to be in a good relationship with the Master, we need to be in good standing with the Master throughout our lives. Are you a faithful servant? In James chapter 2, verse 26, it says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without work is dead also." There's an expectation that the servant will do servant's work even when the master is not around. Even when the master is not over the faithful servant's shoulder, that the faithful servant will do what is needed. There are some responsibilities of the servant to be prepared, to be working, to be doing those things that are good and right. We do not know when the Master will return. We know that the Master will return, but we don't know when the Master will come. The Master could come on any day. In fact, the Master could come on just an ordinary day. I think of Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 and 39. It says, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, but until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not know until the flood came and took them away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man." When the Master comes, the Master could come on just an ordinary day. It could be today that the Master could come, that the Lord could return. It could be today. It could be tomorrow, next week, next month. We do not know, but we know that the Master is coming. It will be just an ordinary time. There'll be eating. There'll be people marrying. Talk about a day for the Master to come back. The day of your marriage. It could happen. That was what was happening in the days of Noah. People were living their normal lives, and then all of a sudden the flood came. That is the description that the Bible is trying to give us, is that the servant of the Lord needs to be always ready, always prepared, always doing what is good, because we do not know when the Master will return. We do not know when the end will be. In Matthew chapter 24, and really throughout 25, there is this idea that the Christian should be prepared, the Christian should be diligent in preparation. Are you a prepared and faithful servant? While the Master is out of town, what are you doing? Now we want to look at these two servants. The two servants that the Bible lays out for us, it lays out the idea first that we need to be the prepared servant, the watchful servant, the consistent servant. And we're going to see the wise servant, and we're going to see the wicked servant. The question for us through this day, and really throughout our lives, is which servant are we? Let's pick up in verses 45 through 47 in Matthew chapter 24. We're going to talk about the first servant. It says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. And surely I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. There in verses 45 through 47, we see the wise servant. We see the faithful servant. Are you a faithful and wise servant? A faithful servant of the Lord that is serving in the Lord's house, serving in the Lord's body, serving in the Lord's church to do those things which we know that we should be doing. Doing things for others in the Lord's house. Serving in the Lord's house. Serving in our lives. Doing what God wants us to do. You know, there are many things that God wants us to do. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible does talk about providing for our family. I believe a good servant of the Lord will provide for their families. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, it tells us that as we have opportunity, we should do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. The servant of the Lord does good not only to people that are members of the Lord's body, but also those that are outside as we have opportunity. That we do, as Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, when we look out for others' interests and not necessarily our own. The servant of the Lord is very selfless in many ways. The servant of the Lord is looking for all good that can be done to the Lord's house and people that are connected or even surrounding the Lord's house. The servant of the Lord will do whatever they can to do those things that are good. Are you doing good things in the house of the Lord while the master is away? Are you serving the Lord while the master is away? In verse 46, I think we see the performance of the servant. This is obviously not a servant that is being lazy and is not engaged in the work of the master. In verse 46, it says, blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, will find him doing. The servant of the Lord, the faithful, consistent servant of the Lord, is doing the work of the Lord. You know, when we read through Revelation and we see those churches in Asia Minor, there's a consistent phrase that is put out to those congregations. It says, I know your work. That's God talking to a congregation of Lord's people. He says, I know your work. Let's not fool ourselves. God knows what we're doing. Seen and unseen. Those things that are seen by people out in the community, but also those things that happen behind the scenes. The Lord, the Master, knows what we are doing. Are we involved in the work of the Lord? When God comes back, will we be found doing? This might sound grim, but I've talked to Sarah about this a few times. You know, if you could die any way that you could die, I'd like to die preaching right after preaching. And that might seem grim, but if I'm going to die, I want to die in service to the Lord. I'd like to die on a mission trip or something of that nature. If I die, let me die in the service of the Lord. Don't let me die doing something that is unfaithful, inconsistent, not doing what the master would want me doing. I want to die in service to the Lord. Well, Kyle, that seems like a challenge. It is. It means we always have to be working. We always got to be working. We got to think about, what am I doing this day that's in service to the Lord? There's so many things that we can be engaged in, and there are many Christian qualities that fall into our day-to-day life. Providing for our families, I believe, is a Christian quality. Helping our families, teaching our young kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids. There are a lot of things that fall under the umbrella of what a good servant of the Lord does. Certainly there are cards to write, visits to make, meals that need to go out, calls that need to go out, service that we can render to our community, to our friends, to our family, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. In James chapter 1 and verse 27, it talks about pure and undefiled religion. And when it talks about pure and undefiled religion, it talks about visiting widows and orphans, and it also talks about keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. Certainly there is a lot of things that the servant of the Lord can do to be active in the Lord's house, to be a good and faithful servant to the Lord. But look at verse 47. We see that the good and faithful servant of the Lord is promoted. In verse 47, it says, surely I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. See, the servant that is faithful is promoted. Now, when we think about this in a spiritual sense, I think that the Lord will promote us in terms of us going to heaven in many respects when we're faithful. You know, there's so many people in our world that are looking for a raise or are looking for some promotion, but they're not performing. They want a raise, but they don't want to perform. When we look at this pattern here, we see that the faithful servant is promoted. And I believe when it comes to the end of this life, those that are faithful will be promoted. And we're talking about a spiritual sense. First, perform. The servant of the Lord, the faithful servant of the Lord, perform. There is not a such thing as an unfaithful servant that's going to be promoted. It might happen on this plane of life, but it's not going to happen, I believe, in the eyes of God. So we think about that. If you want to be promoted in your physical job, perform. If you want to be promoted spiritually, then what might the Lord be looking for? He's looking for you to perform. Maybe another way we could say it is be faithful. You want to get promoted on the job? Be faithful. You want to be promoted on the job? Be faithful. Be there day in and day out and fulfill your obligation to your employer. Be faithful. Be faithful. You want to be promoted in the eyes of God? Be faithful. Be consistent. Fulfill your obligations and responsibilities. You know, I think about that a lot of times is when we think of our physical work and we think about our spiritual work. I think there's a lot of parallels that the Bible tries to draw throughout the Scriptures. Is that Christians should be good employees, they should be good bosses if they fall into that position as well. They should be good, and they should take the Christian qualities which the Bible lays out, and they should be applied to our physical work. But also, I think the comparison is there, is that if we're a good physical worker, there is a good comparison that can be made to our spiritual work. You know, I think sometimes, will we be ashamed to compare what we offer to our physical job than what we offer to the Lord? If we are going to compare them, what you offer to your physical job and then what you offer to the Lord. Have you ever thought about that comparison? Would you be ashamed to make that comparison? You know, sometimes when we think of our physical job, would you handle your physical job and say, well, if I can make it in, I'll make it in. Would you handle your physical job like that? Well, if I can make it in, I can make it in. Well, if I feel like it, I'll go into work. But you know what? Sometimes I just don't quite feel like it. You know, you start thinking about that physical job. Well, you can hit me next time. You know, I'm not going to come in today. Maybe next time. Would you be ashamed if you did a comparison with your physical job versus your spiritual job, your spiritual work to the Lord? Because I know that we have a lot of people here at Sandyville that are fantastic workers. I know it because not only do I hear it from conversation within the congregation, but I hear it from the community. There are a lot of individuals here at Sandyville that have a great work reputation. They have a great, fantastic work reputation. They show up on time. They do their work. They fulfill their obligations. Now when we compare it to our spiritual, do we handle it the same way? Do we show up on time? Are we doing the work that the Lord wants us to do? Do we handle them the same way? You know, I think Malachi tried to make that comparison. He was trying to get it across to his people that you are not handling physical things and spiritual things in the same way. You're giving everything to the physical, but you aren't giving anything to the spiritual. In Malachi chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says this. It says, and when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? You know, that's an interesting idea. The people of Israel, they were offering second best to the Lord. They were saying, you know what, we know that we're supposed to offer this, but we're going to offer half best or even less than that. We're going to offer not our best, but we're going to offer the lame and the sick and the blind. And God asked through Malachi a very powerful question. He says, well, offer it to your governor then. If you think what you're offering to God is so good, why don't you just take what you're offering to God and offer it to your governor? and they know the answer. They can see it as clear as day. Malachi is making it very clear and laying it out clear. Is what they're offering to God, they know, would be totally unaccepted to the world. But sometimes people handle their physical jobs better than they do their spiritual service to the Lord. Is what they're offering to the Lord, if they took that and said, well, I'm going to show up when I feel like it. I'm going to show up when it's easy. I'm going to show up when it doesn't cost me anything. If you took that and you applied that to your job, you'd be fired the next day. We are called to be faithful servants of the Lord. Are you faithful? What you're doing on your physical job, if you compare it to your spiritual life, would it be a fair trade? What you're doing with your spiritual work, would you give that to your physical employer? Perhaps that's a question for each and every one of us. See, I think sometimes people are not ashamed by their service to the Lord anymore. Well, why are they not ashamed, Kyle? I think there's many reasons. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, it talks about these individuals that their conscience has been seared by a hot iron. Now, the idea is that when you sear something, it loses all sensitivity. I think that in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, it's talking about these people where their conscience is no longer sensitive to those things that are evil. And you know what? I think the same thing can happen with our conduct in service to the Lord, is our conscience is no longer pricked in relation to our service to the Lord, because we look at what the world does and we say, you know what? I might be better than the world. You know what? It's okay that I'm not trying to serve the Lord. It's okay that I don't show up to services. It's okay that I don't do this. It's okay that I don't do this. I think that sometimes our conscience gets seared with a hot iron by the world around us, and we're no longer sensitive to what a servant of the Lord looks like, what the servant of the Lord does. Has your conscience been seared by a hot iron that you can't see that what you're offering to the world and what you're offering to God is different? See, the world would say, don't worry about the Lord's day. Don't worry about the assembly of the saints. Don't worry about communion. Don't worry about giving of your physical means, but also in terms of your time, your wealth and your time. Don't worry about giving those things. Don't worry about midweek Bible studies. Don't worry about these things. Has your conscience been seared with a hot iron? Are you a faithful, consistent servant of the Lord? Or have you fallen into the trap of getting sucked into the things of the world around us? It's something to think about, because you will not have to give an account to men. You'll have to give an account to the Master, and the Master will return. And the thing about the Master that we're dealing with is the Master knows all. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must all give an account. The Master that I'm giving account to knows every single thing of my life. He knows what's going on with my family. He knows what's going on with my health. He knows what's going on at work. He knows what's going on in all things. He knows how I handle physical things. God knows how I handle spiritual things. God knows all. He knows your reasons. He knows your excuses. But the question is when you stand before that judgment seat of Christ, will you feel comfortable giving an answer for those things? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, at the end of my life, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I'm fighting for. I'm fighting so I can hear at the end of my life, well done, good and faithful servant. We see that in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 23. The Lord returns and gives an accounting, and the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter in to the joy of your Lord. God knows your work, and God wants you to be a faithful servant of His. He wants us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Let's look at the unfaithful servant. We want to be a wise servant. We want to be looking at opportunities that we can serve the Lord, and we want to be found doing so that we can be promoted. Let's look at 48 through 51. It says, but if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at that hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him into two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrite. there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, we think about the wise servant, the faithful servant, the consistent servant, but there's a change here in verse 48. We're talking about a servant that is really unbelieving in many ways, unwatching, unkind, ungodly, unfaithful, unprepared, and I believe unhappy when the master returns. I think we can find all of that in just those few verses. But in verse 48, we see that our belief in relation to God and His coming will affect our conduct. Do you believe that the Lord is returning? Do you believe that the Lord could come any day? I think that will affect your conduct because we can see that the unfaithful, wicked servant is kind of like, you know what, the master's not going to come tomorrow. The master's not going to come tomorrow, so I don't have to worry about that. See, our belief in relation to Jesus Christ and His coming affects our conduct. See, there are many people that deny God by their works. See, they say, oh yes, I believe God, and yes, I'm working for the Master, but by works they deny Him. Titus chapter 1 and verse 16, by works we can deny the Lord, because we're not working the way that we should. A lot of people say, I know the Master, I love the Master. Well, in John 14, 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, some people I don't think have learned the lesson of the Master. See, the Master died for us and gave us an opportunity to work in His house. He bought us and gave us a second chance at life. And that should teach us something. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we must live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. When the Master dies for you, when the Master buys you back out of slavery, when the Master does all those things for you, when God gives you that opportunity through His grace, it should teach you something. And I think some of the servants of the Lord perhaps have not learned the message of God's grace. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, it says the grace of God teaches us something. What does it teach us? It teaches us to live a better life. To live the life of a faithful servant. We see that the servant is really unbelieving in their actions. We see that the servant is not watching. In verse 48, they are not prepared. They're not living right. And you know what? I have had a test throughout my life that I have used. And I'll share it with you today. If Jesus were to come tomorrow, would I change my actions today? You know, that's the test, I believe, of a faithful servant versus an unfaithful servant. Because we see that the unfaithful servant basically says, I will act bad today because I know the Lord's not coming tomorrow. Well, let me change that a little bit. What if the Lord was to come tomorrow? Would you change your actions today? See, I think that's the test of a faithful servant, because the faithful servant says, I'm ready for the Master anytime. I don't care if the Master comes tomorrow. I don't care if the Master comes next week. I don't care if He comes next month, next year. I'm ready. If the Master were to come tomorrow, would you change your actions today? If the Master was to come tomorrow, would you change your actions today? See, the unfaithful servant says, I'm going to party. You know why? Because the Master's not coming tomorrow. I'm going to party today because I know the Master's not coming tomorrow, but He could. Would you change your actions today if the Lord was to come tomorrow? Would you come to Sunday evening services tonight if the Lord was to come tomorrow? Something to think about. It says how I might think about if the Lord was coming tomorrow, but if the Lord's not coming tomorrow, I might not worry about it. Well, aren't you kind of falling into the trap of the wicked and unfaithful servant? Is the wicked and unfaithful servant thinks they have all kinds of time. They think they have all kinds of time, and they say, you know what, I will party today because the Lord's not coming tomorrow. I will not clean the house today because the Lord's not coming tomorrow. I will not serve today in the field because the Lord's not coming tomorrow. But what if the Lord was coming tomorrow? And we should live our lives in such a way that the Lord's coming tomorrow and I better be ready. I don't know when the Lord's going to come. But the mindset of, I am going to be a prepared and faithful servant. I try to live every day that I'm ready for the Lord to return. And you know what? That really is my duty. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 10, it says, so likewise, you, when you have done all things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. I'm just doing what a servant's supposed to be doing. A servant's not supposed to be partying while the master's away. The servant is not supposed to be not cleaning the house while the master's away. The servant is supposed to be in the field working while the master is away. And when that master comes back, he should be prepared and ready. See, I think in our culture and our mindset of freedom in America, we miss out sometimes on that idea of having a master and having duties and obligations and responsibilities. I am not my own. I've been purchased by a price. I am the Lord's servant. You know, in Exodus, it talks about servitude. And in Exodus, the Israelites were to handle slaves in a certain way, if you want to call it that, is that if you had a debt, you could actually go into servitude. And that servitude was for a temporary time. You can read about this in Exodus chapter 21. In Exodus chapter 21, you could put yourself into servitude, and basically after the period of 7 years, you'd be free. There was no lifelong servitude that was forced. But there was lifelong servitude by choice. If you read Exodus chapter 21, if that 7 years came up and you were supposed to be free, you had a choice. After the 7 years of service, you had a choice. You could be free, or you could choose to be a lifelong servant of the master. And in Exodus chapter 21, it says that if you're going to do that, you would pierce your ear. You would pierce your ear, and you would say, I am going to be a lifelong servant. Well, I said, Kyle, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Well, in Exodus chapter 21, verses 5 and 6, if you read it through, it says that people that would make this choice would make it because they had a good master. They would choose to be a lifelong servant because they had a good master. You know what? You have that choice as a New Testament Christian. See, God's not going to force you to be a servant of His. He's not going to force you. But you know what? God wants you to see that He is a good master, and He wants you to be a servant by choice. To pierce your ear and say, I will serve you the rest of my life. Why? Because you're a good master. You're a gracious master. You've given me a second chance at life. You have blessed me with a freedom and an understanding in terms of spiritually, the spiritual blessings that are in Christ. Have you chosen to be a lifelong servant of the Lord? You know, we see all the things that this wicked servant gets engaged in, and really it's a big long list. The wicked servant is unkind. The wicked servant is ungodly. The wicked servant is not doing those things which are good and right. That is not what God expects of His servant. Are you the consistent servant, or are you the inconsistent servant? Are you prepared? Look at verse 50. It says, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at that hour that he is not aware of. Will you be caught unprepared in service to the Lord? Verse 51, even better, when the master comes, will you be unhappy? Look at verse 51. It says, and will cut him into two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrite. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know what I found? Although my work experience has kind of been varied in different areas, public school teacher, and I kind of mowed grass. I've done a little variety of things. But you know what I found is that the unfaithful servant is not happy when the master shows up. When the foreman shows up, when the boss shows up, the unfaithful servant's not happy. That's what we see in verse 51. Because the unfaithful servant will be punished. Are you looking forward to the master coming back, or are you going to be unhappy when the Lord is coming back? And you know what? When the Lord comes back and looks through His servants and there's an accounting, the Lord is going to catch pretenders. Well, where do you catch that? Verse 51. It says, He will cut him into two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. You know what a hypocrite is? A hypocrite is a pretender. Yes, there are pretend servants in the Lord's house. And the Lord will catch every single one. You know, there's such a difference between the wise servant and the wicked servant. A lot of it, I think, is in relation to their attitude. And I think many people miss this in Christianity. When it comes to our service, we think about what the Master's done for us. Some people have the mindset in their Christianity that God paid a debt for me that I cannot pay, so I will never try to pay it back. God paid a debt for me that I could never pay, so I will never try and pay it back. I think that's the attitude of the wicked servant. I think the wise servant and the faithful servant have the attitude that a debt was paid for me that I cannot pay back, but I will do my best. I will labor, I will sacrifice, I will do whatever in my power to be faithful to the one who did for me what no one else could. Which servant are you? If the Lord was to come back tomorrow, would you change your actions today? If the Lord was coming back tomorrow, would you change your actions today? That's a test I use in my life throughout my life. When Monday comes around, if the Lord was going to come back on Tuesday, would I change anything that I did on Monday? On Tuesday, I look at, if the Lord was going to come back tomorrow, would I change anything that I did today? There's many ways we can serve the Lord. Which servant are you? Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We would love to help you in any way that we can. If you have any questions about what we do here, we would love to answer those. We just want to do what the Bible says. We want to be a faithful servant of the Lord. Perhaps you're subject to the invitation. If you are, we ask you to please come as we stand and as we sing.